discussing. And if you're also tuning in with us on our Podbean, thank you so much for doing so. All these messages are going to be recorded, and of course, we will share with the team there so they can spread it out there. And I was just sharing with Pastor that there is a friend of mine on Facebook, Ivan Ventura, who recognizes him and your family. And I think he's from Michoacan, somewhere out there. He said that you guys have been a blessing to him. And so praise the Lord. Y'all, man, y'all are knowing out there. Amen. So it's an honor to know you guys. Okay, so y'all can find a little bit more about us. Today's our calendar. Of course, we have our special guest, pastor here, missionary to Puebla, Mexico. Today, we're going to go over, I'll show you guys his website here, reachingpuebla.com. So if you're watching us online, you'll be able to view that as well. And also, if you're tuning in with us, you guys should be able to check that out. And then I'll show you guys some pictures there of Puebla for visual sake. He'll kind of share with you a little bit, and then we'll go back there. So find out a little bit more about us, leadership team, ministry opportunities. This next Thursday, we'll be out there soul winning. If you can join us, we'll be down there at the Downtown Sunset Outreach. As usual, 5:45 meet time here. And then we'll go out there from about 7 to 7:30. Soul winning, passing out tracts, and then just reaching out to our City of Oceanside the best we can. And then, Lord willing, we'll be back to our soul winning Saturday. Next Saturday, as you guys know, meet here at 11. We go door knocking for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then we go downtown once again. Keep on winning souls our best we can, planting that seed here. Amen. And then for the men, of course, some of our men are not able to make it today, but we're going to announce it for Saturday's special fellowship with our brethren from Temecula. And so I just recently befriended a pastor, Corio, and Brother Munoz is an OG. He knows him. He's been a good friend of him for many, many years. He's going to be doing a men's get-together. He said, uno carne asadita. I said to him on the phone. I said, amen, hermano, I'll be there. No, but we're going to be there to hear the word of God and just fellowship with some hermanos. It's going to be a good time. So I'm going to tell the men. So it's at 5 o'clock, huh? It starts, I think. And then so we're going to have to leave around here at 4. So it'll be good to see the men out there and just fellowship, get to know some other brothers. Prayer tab, most important announcement, y'all, we can make here at church. Please do me a favor, submit that prayer request if you can. There, we'd like to be in prayer with you, be in prayer for you. In-house, you guys already know, we went over our live streams. And last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are. You can remain faithful in your giving as unto the Lord. Whatever you purpose in your heart, you can do so online. We got the box back there. And those are our announcements. So without further ado, we want to go ahead and allow the team to go ahead and do their thing for a special or two and however you guys want to direct it. And the floor is yours. Amen.
All right. Well, we are the Munoz family, and our kids, as they just sang, we're going to show their names on the screen right in a few minutes. And we've been in Puebla, Mexico since 1999, actually in Mexico since 1999, and in Puebla, Mexico since the year 2001. And the reason we're here in the States, we're on furlough. We're visiting more churches, looking for more support, the churches that will be able to pick us up as missionaries. And we are also here because we're trying to get my citizenship. If you pray for that, I'm a resident, but I'm not a citizen. So we're praying for that. And if you can help us out. And we will be going, Lord willing, back to Puebla in September, the 29th of September. That's when we have our tickets to go back. So if you are ever want to maybe take a mission trip or something like that and visit us, we'll be more than glad to have you with us. And we're going to show a video of our ministry in Puebla.
Hi. We're the Munoz family, missionaries in Mexico since 1999 and in the city of Puebla since the year 2001. My name is Arturo Munoz and I graduated from Oklahoma Baptist College in 1998. This is my wife Nicole, and we got married in 1999 and now we have 7 children. This is our son Japheth, then is Rachel, then is Sarah. Rachel and Sarah recently made a CD, and the name of the CD is In His Presence. Rachel wrote the music and the words. Then is our son David. Then is Hannah. David and Hannah are twins. Then Ashley. And at the end is Caitlin. The city of Puebla is the fourth largest city in the country of Mexico. If you were to drive from Laredo, Texas, it would take you 15 hours to get to Puebla. The city of Puebla is surrounded by 4 volcanoes. One of them is active. The city of Puebla has 1.5 million people. All of those souls still need to be reached. Each year, our city celebrates the Battle of Cinco de Mayo. This battle happened back in the year of 20,000 tracks every time during the parade of Cinco de Mayo. Praise the Lord, many of these people read the tracks and get saved. But I want to go back to the beginning in the year 2001 when we first went to Puebla and see what God has done through our ministry. But why do we need more missionaries in Mexico? Well, violence is growing and many of them are dying on their way to hell without having the opportunity to hear the gospel. Why do we need more missionaries in Mexico? Because the Bible says in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Since the beginning, when we first arrived in the city of Puebla, we held our first missions conference. We believe in missions, and right now our church supports 40 missionaries around the world. In the year 2008, we started our Bible Institute. Since then, we have graduated 14 men and women that are now serving God. Five of them are now pastors in Mexico, and before the pandemic, we had 20 students in our Bible Institute. Each year, during the Day of the Dead, we go out on November 2nd, and we give out more than 20,000 tracts on the city's cemeteries. Praise the Lord, we have seen many people getting saved during this time of the year. Every Saturday, a group of about 40 people, we gather together and we go out soul winning and tell people about Christ. Our vision is to start 20 churches in our city. Praise the Lord, we have started 3 mission churches in the city of Puebla. Our first mission church is Liberty Baptist Church, that right now is being led by Brother Eric Dominguez. Our second mission is being pastored by Brother Arturo Mendoza. And the third mission church is being pastored by Brother Cristian Ruiz. It is our desire to start more churches in the city of Puebla. Please pray that God will allow us to start more churches and witness to more people. We know that God can do a great work here in Puebla. We covet your prayers. Please pray for the Munoz family. Thank you very much.
Okay, very good. So I see that you're still awake. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to our Bibles as you open your Bibles in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. So we've been missionaries in Mexico in Puebla for 21 years. Wow, can't believe that. 21 years, they've gone by so fast. And what a blessing to be here back in Oceanside. This is where my wife, she grew up here in Oceanside, and she is from this area, and this is where she got saved, and this is where she started to go to church, and she went to Bible college in Chesterton, Indiana, came back, started serving the Lord, and then I took her from her church, took her to Mexico, and now we are back for a few months and we're now getting ready to go back to Mexico in our church, and we love our church, and today, as I was seeing the video feed of our church, they had a good Sunday, and we praise the Lord for that. And but anyway, let's go ahead and stand up, and we're gonna go to Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and verse 10. And we're going to see today, why do we need more missionaries? Why do we need more missionaries? Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, and if you read along with me, the Bible says, ready with me, 1, 2, 3, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, as surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for this church, and we pray, Lord, that you'll do your work in our hearts and help us, Lord, to be reminded of the the importance of your gospel, and not of maybe sometimes we think that we are important, but that you are more important, and help us, Lord, to be reminded also of the need of preachers and evangelists and missionaries, and help us, Lord, to be able to see more young men and young women, and people surrender to go to the mission field. We know that you're not going to call everybody, but Lord, we surely need more laborers into for the harvest. Thank you, Lord, for your Bible. Thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the Bible says that we have different people here. We have Paul, as they are traveling and they are near Greece. And then we have Silas and we have Timothy and we have Luke. They are traveling with Paul. And the Bible says that as they are in Troas, which is about 200 miles from Macedonia, the area where God was calling them to go, the Bible says, verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and then a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And this vision, the Bible says, there stood a man of Macedonia. So Paul saw a vision, and in the vision, in the night, he saw a man standing up. And when you see a man standing up, it is like he is maybe desperate. He is maybe like trying to get your attention. If someone is trying to get your attention, you're going to stand up. About 2-3 weeks ago, we went to a one of these parks, and amusement park. We went to an amusement park. And they have these shows, and Grandpa was a little late, and we were all there waiting for him. And as he was entering the show, you know, some of us stood up, like, hey, waving, hey, right here, right over here, come over here, this is the way. So when this man was, the Bible says, appeared to Paul in this vision, There stood a man of Macedonia. And I think that right now there are many, many countries and many, many people that, like this man in Macedonia, are waiting for someone to go and share the gospel with them. So why do we need more missionaries? Why do we need more missionaries? Why do we need more people to go and reach them and help them? So when Paul went to Macedonia, and the first place that he went into was Philippi, I think, I guess that's how you say it, Philippi, that's when where he went, that the place where he went and the help he offered was not, hey, what do you need? You need some bricks to build? No, it wasn't that. Do you need more gasoline for your cars? No, it wasn't that. Do you need more like Sunday school material? No, it wasn't that. So when he went and shared the gospel. So the way that we help people is sharing the gospel. And when he arrived there and they went to Macedonia, they started to witness to people and they started to tell them about the Lord. So the Bible says that when they got there, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia. And then the Bible tells us later on in verse 14 that a woman named Lydia, which worshipped God. So she already knew God, and she already was worshiping God. The Bible says that whose heart the Lord opened so that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You know, our part is to open the scripture, and God's part is to open the hearts. And God opened the hearts of the people that were being witnessed to, and this lady got saved. When God opens the heart, people's going to get saved. Oh, Lord, why is this person is not getting saved? Well, he's going to do his work. Amen. You do your work. God is going to do his work. And then when she got saved, verse 15, and when she got saved, then what happened? And she was baptized, and her household praise the Lord. So she got baptized and everybody else got baptized. And we know the rest of the story that we're not going to go into, how they were thrown into jail. And later on, the jailer there at Philippi got saved, and also with all his family. But if we go back to verse 9, the Bible says, then a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So the first thing that we like to mention, why do we need more missionaries? We need more missionaries because of the reality of hell. The reality of hell. There is a hell. There is a hell. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. Why do we need to keep preaching the gospel? Why don't we just sit down and just relax and no? Because there is a real hell. Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, the Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. He only wanted one drop of water. Why? Because he was in hell. And he wanted to cool his tongue, for he was being tormented in this flame. Amen. So some people are like, no, you died, and then you go into the ground, and that's it. But into the ground, you don't feel flames. Amen. It's in hell where you feel those flames. It's in hell where you're going to be tormented. It's in hell where you're going to be there forever and ever if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. And why do we need more missionaries? Because there is a real hell. So this was a desperate call. It was a desperate call because he was in need. The fire will be real. Their suffering will be real. Why suffering? Because when you get burned, you suffer, amen? How many of you have ever been burnt? It doesn't feel good, right? So a long time ago, I was back in Mexico. In houses in Mexico, normally we have in front of the house, there is like a water deposit tank underground, which is called cisterna, which is like a water deposit tank underground, cistern, right? But it's clean water, right? It's not dirty. It's clean. So you have water from the city, and you just hold the water right there. And then you have another tank on your house. So we had this cistern in front of our house, and it was open. And someone, it wasn't me, someone had just poured inside that cistern gasoline. So half of the cistern, which is about maybe 8 or 9 feet deep, half was filled with water. And it's like a small room, halfway with water. And then maybe half a gallon of gasoline poured into the cistern. And, you know, gasoline is going to stay on top. And because in Mexico it's really, really hot, that gasoline was, half of it maybe evaporated into the other half. And I saw the jug of gasoline that was empty. And my sister was just coming back from high school. I was maybe 15 and she was 14, and I say, hey, guess what? There is the water. And have you ever seen water burn? And she's like, no, I've never seen water burn. I said, do you want to see water burn? And she's like, no, I don't want to see water. You know, I don't understand girls. why don't you want to see water to get burnt, right? It's like so intriguing. And so she's like, no, I don't want to see it. And she wanted just to go inside the house. I'm like, no, come over here. Look, watch, I'm going to do magic. This is a match. There is water. I'm going to throw the match inside the cistern. So I said, okay, put your head right here. I'm going to throw it, okay? And she's like, no, I don't want to put my head right there. Okay, fine. And she stood right behind. Sometimes they are smarter. So she stood right behind me. I stood right there, my face right into the opening of the cistern. I lit the match. And as I threw the match into the cistern, the match didn't pass the opening. It just exploded the whole place. I mean, I did. Praise God, praise the Lord, I didn't die that day. Or maybe I died and I'm back as an alien. All right, so I don't know. Maybe I'm an alien. But the thing exploded. And fire came. And have you seen the cartoons where, who is it, Bugs Bunny or someone, that they just lit a match and it's the Correcaminos. What was that? What's his name? Roadrunner. Have you seen that? That's for real. It happens in real life. So someone drawing Roadrunner, that happened to him, because that's how it happened to me. Fire just went through my face and it just felt warm. And I stepped back after the explosion. I don't know if I fell on the floor or something, but as I looked up, I kid you not, the fire went two stories high. I remember, because our house is three stories. Our house right here, it was as this far from the cistern, about 2-3 feet. I probably fell, and I saw the fire going up to heaven. And as soon as it went up, it went down. I'm like, whoa. That was amazing. I survived, praise the Lord. That was amazing. That was really cool. I would not do it again. Definitely, probably cracked. Something happened, because once we look back, no water. No, I'm just kidding. There was still water. I lost my eyelashes. I used to grow beard. I don't grow any beard anymore. No, I don't grow any at all. But all my facial hair was gone. Like right here, gone. But I didn't know. But it hurt. But it was really quick and it just kind of like hurt. But I turn around and I'm like, and my sister, she's like, could not believe what just happened. And then I'm like, can you smell that? It smells awful. And I turn around and she sees me. And when she saw me, she started laughing because I didn't have any more hair. My eyebrows were gone. I don't remember if I had glasses at the time, but everything was burned. Like all this, it was black because of the fire. And it smelled bad, and it was me. It was me smelling all that awful smell. But it hurt. I didn't get like a first, second, or third degree burn, praise the Lord, but it hurt. It. Now imagine that was, yeah, I think I had, well, my eyes are little. And that helps me protect my eyes, right? But I think I have my glasses. I think I have my glasses. That's why I didn't burn my eyes. And so it burnt for like half a second. I don't know what, you know, I've been burnt for like 5 seconds and it hurts. But this man in hell, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Why do we need more missionaries? Because there is a real hell. Number two, why do we need more missionaries? Because his return is imminent. His return is imminent. What does that mean? Imminent means something is going to happen for sure. And there are some things in this life that are for sure. For example, if you eat a lot of tacos, you're gonna get for sure sick. I mean, for sure you're gonna get sick. If you eat a lot of enchiladas during the night, for sure you are going to have no nightmares, visions. That's when God speaks to you, right? When you eat a lot of enchiladas. When you bring flowers to your wife, she's going to give you what? A kiss. Man, right? Hannah? Who said that? Hannah or Sarah? Sarah? Chill. So there are things in this life that are going to be for sure. Like if you jump from a building that is a 10-story building and you jump out of that building, what's going to happen? You're not going to fly. You're going to die unless you land on water or on arena, which we used to do as kids, jumping from a 3rd-story floor into the arena. You didn't die. But, you know, it is imminent that God is coming back. Why? Because think about this. God, the creator of the universe. And if you are ever in doubt this that there is a God, just go out in the middle of the night and look to the heavens. And what is it? Psalms 127, one that says, Los cielos cuentan la gloria de Dios. Oh, no, I think it's 127. But if you look up, you're going to see like, wow, this is not coincidence. This is not like a big explosion. Someone made this universe. And the creator of this universe, he has given us his word. And the Bible says, go with me, because the Bible tells us about it. I don't have it here in my notes, and I always get in trouble when I don't follow my notes. But go to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. I like what the Bible says here in chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. So God's word, God said, okay, these are the 50 or more prophecies that happen and were prophesied about Jesus, and then they happen. And you know, that is like incredible. And if God said so and it happened, and God says, I'm coming back, my return is imminent, my return is happening, we better believe that. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Matthew 25, 13. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. The Bible says, Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But guess what? He is coming. He is coming. He is coming soon. He is coming soon. Maranatha means that he is coming. Amen. And if there is anything for sure, is that he is coming back. How many times you're like, okay, if you put your finger right there in the door, you're gonna, like our little kids, are not little anymore, but we knew when things were going to happen. And many times we will tell them, hey, don't do that, you're gonna get hurt. And guess what happened? They got hurt. Don't put your hands in the fire, you're gonna get burned. And guess what? They got burned. Well, our Father, our Heavenly Father is like, hey, the same way, like Acts chapter 1, the same way you have seen him gone, he is going to come back. He is going to return. Why do we need more missionaries? Because of the reality of hell, but also because his return is imminent. There is a fable which tells of three little devils who were coming to this earth to finish their apprenticeship. I think that's how you say that. They were talking to Satan, the chief of the devils, which and they were talking about their plans to tempt and ruin mankind. The first one of the devils said, "I will tell them that there is no God." Satan said, "Well, that will not delude many, for they know that there is no God." The second one said, the second one of the little devils, "I will tell them that the Bible is not real," which many people already think that the Bible is not real. And Satan answered and said, "You will deceive no one that way. Besides, they don't read their Bibles anyway." The third one said, "I will tell them that there is no hurry to reach the lost." And Satan said, "Go, because that will ruin many by the thousands." The most dangerous of all delusions is that we think that we have plenty of time. There is no time. Jesus is coming back. And why do we need more missionaries? Because his return is imminent. And number three, why do we need more missionaries? Because the fields are ready. The fields are ready, but the laborers are few. That's why we need more missionaries, because the fields are ready. Think about this. In 1974, we had 4 billion people in this world. Move the timeline to 2022. If you're watching right now, we're in the year 2022. If you're watching the future, this is 2022. Amen. But I was going to be a little more sarcastic if you're watching in the year 3000, but I don't think we're going to have to wait that long. But anyway, forward a little more from 1974 now to 2022, we are almost, if not, maybe we already are. I'm going to have to look at it, because I haven't seen that statistic anymore recently, but we are very, very, very close to being 8 billion people. We were 4 billion in 1974. Now we have doubled in 47 years, 48 years. 4 billion people more in this world. When Jesus said, "Look up to the fields, look to the fields, lift up your eyes," he said that when on this earth, we were 200 million people, about. So why do we need more missionaries? Well, there's a lot of people in this world that need to be reached, and we need more missionaries. Go with me to John 4:35. We're going to read that Bible verse. I'm going to read Matthew 9:37 for the sake of time. Matthew 9:37, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Guess what? In 1974, we had more missionaries than we have today. In 1974, we had more Bible Baptists and Bible-believing churches than we have today. Now we have less laborers. We have less workers, we have less churches, and we have more people. We need to do more. We need to do more. John 4:35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I said unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now, they were talking about a real harvest. Jesus was talking about the humankind harvest. And they're saying, "Oh, there's time." And Jesus was saying, "Oh, no, there is no time. The laborers are few. The fields are white to be harvested. Pray for more laborers." Why do we need more missionaries? Because the fields are white, and we need more. We need more preachers. We need more soul winners. We need more people. Look, Pastor, but I didn't go to Bible college. We need more people that are like willing to share their story with someone else. You don't have to go door knocking to share your story. You know, in work, you can share your story. With your family, you can share your story. With anybody you meet, you can share your story. And we need to be willing to share our story. So Paul saw this Macedonian man that said, hey, come, help us. And he said, okay, I see it is a desperate call. I see that is an urgent call. I'm going to go. And he went and he witnessed. He shared the gospel and God opened the door in the area of Macedonia, starting with Philippi. And there were many other cities, the Thessalonica, Galatia. Well, I think Galatia was a little far, but there were more cities that were blessed because Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and many others went because they pay attention to the call and they were willing to go. And God blessed that. Okay, let's close our eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for allowing us to be here today. Thank you that we have heard the gospel. Thank you that you sent someone that knew that hell was real. Thank you that you sent someone that knew that you were coming soon, and he or she presented the gospel to us. Thank you that they were laborers, that someone as a soul winner or as a true Christian was able to share the gospel with us so that we might be saved. And Lord, we need more men and women that will be willing to take the gospel to other places, to a Macedonia, to a Philippi, to wherever we are, be able to go and share the gospel. Help us, Lord, to share the gospel in our community. Help us, Lord, to share the gospel here in Oceanside. Help this church right here, Simple Faith Baptist Church, to be able to continue in their efforts to share the gospel Sundays and Saturdays and Thursdays and throughout the week. And bless that, Lord. And help us, Lord, to continue sharing the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Give us that heart and help us to be remindful that you are coming soon. There's not a lot of time, Lord. Help us, Lord, and with our eyes closed and heads bowed, just would like to, wherever you are, would like to invite you so that you pray and ask God and say, Lord, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to my life? How can I be more like Paul? Is there anything you are calling me to? Is there a Macedonia place that Macedonia man that is standing up and maybe I need to go to them? Maybe it's a family member that you have that is saying, hey, please come and help me and share the gospel with me. Maybe there's someone at work that is saying, hey, please come help me. Share the gospel with me. Maybe it's a country that is saying, hey, come here to, I don't know, China, Mexico, another country where we need to go and present the gospel. How does that apply to us? Lord, help us, Lord, to apply this to our lives and bless your word. Thank you. We thank you in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much, Pastor. And Pastor's coming, and he's going to say a few words.
Amen. Yes, so we just want to thank God for the ministry that the Lord has began through Pastor Arturo many, many years ago. I had a chance to hear a little bit of his story when we were at Brother Alfredo's, and just hearing how it all started there in Mexico, him and his father, and over the years. And so tonight, it's an encouragement for our church, as we know that regardless of our size, we can do something for the Lord. And what qualifies you is you're a sinner, saved by grace, empowered by your spirit, and you got the gospel. That's it. And so let's continue to pray for our immediate neighborhood church. As you guys know, let's continue to make efforts to soul win. Some of you guys have been little by little getting back out there, and it's been a blessing. And don't doubt what God has called you to do. He can do it through you, and he can do it for you. Amen. Just avail yourself. And so we are very fortunate. So we're going to conclude. And if you guys have any questions for Pastor Dudo, please ask him. He has great experience for wisdom, everything else like that. I think he's going to have a couple of prayer cards. This is his banner. Take a picture. Let's continue to keep him in prayer. And as a church family, let's continue to by faith, pray for them and also support them as a church. Amen. We may not have a lot, but the little that we do have, I know the Lord can use that. Amen. We can just be that little lad. We can just be that little church that says, hey, brother, here's a little fish for you. Here's a little bread for you. Amen. So we sure like to support him and his family with that support as he continues ministering there in Puebla. And then who knows, one day we can send Eileen over there. We can send Gibby over there. Maybe Maribel. No, I'm just kidding. One of these days we can send somebody to just go out there and experience a whole new part of the earth and minister with hermanos. Amen. All right, church. So with that said, we're going to go to close with a word of prayer, and we'll just have a good time of fellowship, and then we'll call it a day. Father, I thank you for the word. Lord, it sure did speak to me, God, and I'm thankful for the calling that you've placed on Pastor Arturo's life, his amazing wife, God, and their children, Lord. What a blessing it is to worship you today in song with all these youth, Lord, and church stirred my heart, God, and it prepared me to receive today what you had. And so I pray that all of us here at our church, Lord, I know some of our members weren't able to attend, tired from this past weekend, but Lord, for Sister Maribel and Gibby and Eileen, those that were here today, Sister Dina, God, that we were stirred to continue to step out in faith, not to excuse ourselves, but to just say, Lord, here I am, send me. And Lord, that we'll soul win together on our Thursdays, we'll soul win together on our Saturdays, and we'll continue to do the best we can with what you gave us, Lord. The little fishes you can do much with, the little bread you can do much with, if we just give it to you. So God, I pray that encouraged our members that we received, and I pray that you would continue to do the work you've called us. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Love you, church. God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your day. Amen.